So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, Pastor Jen did an amazing job kicking off our new sermon series called Toxic. If you weren't able to be here for that, I encourage you to go back and watch that. In the 10 months that I've been here, I haven't heard anyone talk about a sermon or a sermon series as much as this Toxic series and that wonderful kickoff last year. Obviously, we have toxic people in our lives that we need to figure out how to love and how to deal with, and as we say every week, how not to be one, right? So we're obviously taking a break from our usual rhythm today, and I know that's a disruption to folks, so thank you for all of you 9 a.m. folks who pushed back your tea times and pushed back your brunch reservations. For you 10:30 folks who got out of bed early, thank you for being here. It is good to worship together. So let me tell you a bit about what's going to happen this morning. So as I said earlier, the Steps arrived in Jacksonville about 10 months ago, and many of you have been asking me questions. Questions about what do you think of the area? What are your impressions of the church? What direction is the church going in, and what is the vision for our church? So I'm going to do three things this morning. I want to share and start with a reflection on what it means for us to be the church. Second, I'm going to give an update on things going on in our church and things that I've observed over the last few months. And then I'm going to share with you, or we're going to have a time to share together about our hopes and dreams for our church. And in that last part of the sermon, we're going to be walking through that insert that was in your bulletin that has the sticky notes in there. We have a specific purpose for those, so don't write your grocery list on them or cute drawings during the worship service. Just hang on to that for now, and we will circle back to it. So this past week, we had an apocalyptic situation in our house. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth. The children were yelling. There was panic. This was all about the time that the sun was just waking up, and it all connects back to Disney. You see, Thursday was an important day in the life of our family, and for especially my wife. For the first time since we moved here, and the first time in a long time, Disney had all their annual pass levels open. And part of the agreement when we moved from Texas to Florida was that as soon as she could, she was going to get for our family one of the good annual passes. Well, the phone lines opened at 7 a.m., and so she sat at the kitchen table with her phone, my phone, and the emergency home cell phone all laid out in front of her, and she was going through and dialing the phone number until we could get through. My phone alone, I went through the call records, and there were 91 outgoing calls made to Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Now, she did this with my blessing, just for the record. So she did this for about a half hour and finally got through on my phone, of course. So she offers to me, this is right about the time that I'm getting ready to leave to take the kids to school. And so she says, well, you can feel free to take my phone with you. And I was like, no, we'll be all right. It's just a 15-minute drive to school. Now, here's where things get a little crazy. Our children were shocked. They were shocked and dismayed. You can't drive to school without a phone? I spent over half my life driving and riding in a car without a phone. What are we going to listen to in the car if we don't have Spotify? We're going to listen to the radio. What if we forget something and you can't call mom to have her bring it? Well, don't forget something. What if we get in an accident? What if we get a flat tire? Just please get in the truck. If ever my children needed evidence that their knuckle-dragging Neanderthal of a father was indeed dragging them back to caveman times, it was simply this: I wasn't carrying a cell phone on me at the time. Now, I went through the entire morning without my phone because it took Colleen 3 hours on hold to get through to Lake Buena Vista. And ultimately, it was wonderful to not have my phone on me. I definitely felt like I was missing something that I was supposed to have on me, that phantom feeling like I was missing an appendage or something. But it was great to not have this tiny tyrant attached to me for a few hours. When I think about modern conveniences that I'm not so sure are making us healthy, wiser people, smartphones would be at the top of my list. I'm just not sure about that. What do you think? With everything going on that is topsy-turvy in our culture and society, we need things that ground us. And when I say that ground us, I mean that give us a sure footing, right? That give us a sense of stability, permanence, consistency. Things that make me feel like my roots are running deep enough that when the storms of life come through, and they are going to come through, they're not going to topple me over. This brilliant pocket-sized piece of technology, for me, does not help me feel grounded. Maybe it does for you. Sure, it helps me do work. It entertains me, but it does not help me feel settled. It doesn't decrease my stress and anxiety. It doesn't help me feel present and aware when I'm with my family and friends and my church. In many ways, it takes me in the exact opposite direction. And so as humans, we have a longing to feel grounded, to feel secure, to feel rooted, resilient, confident. And God's given us rhythms for us to actually feel that way, to feel grounded in our faith, to help us put roots down firmly in Him and keep us connected to His truth and the reality of His kingdom. We study God's Word. We spend times in prayer. We spend time serving one another in the community, and we spend time gathered together as the people of God, as the body of Christ. And that last one is so important. Gathering together as the people of God. One of the great wounds in our nation from the last few years is how disrupted our communities were. Our connection with others was broken. The epidemics of loneliness and depression from isolation soared. We don't need to rehearse that. But God created us to be in community with one another, and specifically to be in community with Him as we are in community as the body of Christ, as the church. There is nothing else like the church. There are many groups that try to replicate what the church does, but they can't do it. Fitness clubs, social groups, country clubs, political parties, none of them have the transformative power that the church has. And here's one reason why. The church, by design, was created to gather around not a common interest or hobby, not a common political agenda, but around worshiping and listening to Jesus. The rhythm of gathering together with the body of Christ is one that is truly irreplaceable. It is truly irreplaceable in our human quest to feel grounded, rooted, safe, and secure. So let's turn to our passage now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here we have a description of what the church looks like and how it operates. I will read the passage aloud. You're invited to read along in your Bibles or read along on the screens. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, well, guess I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that's quite an image, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the heart of Paul's encouragement 2,000 years ago to the church in Corinth is the illustration that the church is like what? What's the image? Like a body. So in the city of Corinth in Greece, archaeologists have discovered hundreds of these terracotta body parts. Hands, feet, legs, arms, eyes, ears, even clay models of internal organs. Hundreds of these. You see, there was a temple there to, I'm going to fumble through this, Asclepius, the Greek god of healing and medicine. I actually practiced that many times before this. So when people would go there to receive healing, they would essentially pay their respects by leaving clay votives in the image of whatever it was they were seeking healing for. So it's believed that Paul is writing our passage to the church in Corinth with this image in mind of a Greek temple, you can think of it as a church building even, that they were all familiar with, that was filled with disembodied, lifeless body parts. Paul writes, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and together they form one body." So it is with Christ. So it is with the church. So if you've ever been around a church, this is not a foreign idea, but let's be honest, how often have we been to a church that feels like that Greek temple? That there are people in the church, but there's not a clear sense of what is connecting all of us together. People going to church just for the sake of going to church. People who do not seem to be united in Christ or by the Spirit. That should not be the case, according to Paul. Essentially, we, the church, are not just a building filled with disconnected, spiritually dead members like that pile of parts in the Greek temple. No, we are Christ's living and active body with many parts who are vitally connected together. So in our passage, we see unity in diversity. There's unity in our mission. There is unity that we seek to glorify Jesus and to share with others. There's unity in that, but there's diversity as well. And that diversity in this passage has to do with the roles and gifts. That God has given us gifts to complement one another so that we can proclaim the gospel and glorify God. There's unity in our diversity. We also see that in the body of Christ, we experience a dependency on one another. It says later in the passage, it says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." It's in the body of Christ where we learn to depend on one another. God has given us multiple gifts so that together we can serve him and amplify the gospel and glorify him. There's also this mutual joy and gratitude and concern. Verse 26, it says, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it." If one part is honored, every part rejoices with us. That we bear one another's burdens, that we give thanks when times are going well, that we rejoice when we see God working in other parts of the church and working in one another's lives. We lift one another up, we build one another up. The church is the body of Christ. It is God's plan A for this world, and there is nothing else like it. No institution or organization on earth is quite like the church. So one of the questions I've been reflecting on since we arrived here 10 months ago is the question of what is it about Mandarin Presbyterian Church that makes it Mandarin Presbyterian Church? What is it that God has done over the last 60 years to wire this church to share the gospel in a unique way. Now, I have spent meaningful time in churches in South Florida, where I'm from, in Berkeley, California, where I met my wife, in Bel Air, California, in East LA, in Houston, Texas, and now in Jacksonville, Florida. All of these churches shared and stood on the same gospel, but each one was different. Each one was wired to proclaim the gospel in a different way and live it out in their community. So as I began my role here as pastor, I wanted to know, how is it that God has uniquely wired this church, our church, to share the gospel? So here's some things that I've learned about our church, things I've observed over the last several months. Now, first, I obviously have not observed enough to realize that I don't need to wear a tie to worship. But Wayne, the only other person I've seen with a coat and tie on this morning, I'm dressed like this for you, brother. I'm dressed like this for you. So this is a church that hungers for the Word of God. A church that hungers for the Word of God. This goes back to long Bible studies, long series like the Bethel Bible series. It goes back to all of the small groups and Sunday school classes that have continued to meet, the old and the new, with Greg and so many other ones. Just earlier this spring, we gave out 31 Big Kid Bibles to third through fifth graders in a special ceremony. It was a beautiful evening. Each of them had personal inscriptions from myself, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Jen, and from our children's minister, Wendy. It was a special time. When I decided to teach Get a Grip on the Bible this spring, I didn't know what to expect. I would have been fine with 30 or 40 people here in the sanctuary, and then I was shocked when 50 people signed up, and then 100 people signed up, and then 250 people signed up. We ended up with 382 people registered for the class, and we sold all 400 workbooks and printed off several more. That was such an encouragement to me, and I hope for those of you who took the class, it was a moment in your faith where you learned more and were drawn deeper into your walk with Christ. Here's something else I've learned about our church. You are willing to serve. There are a lot of people in this church who are willing to step up for the sake of others. Fall Fest on the River, last October, there were over 150 volunteers. Extravaganza, just a few weeks ago, over 100 volunteers. VBS, SCAMP, last July, 120 volunteers. Every Sunday, do you know how many volunteers it takes to have everything going on here on campus? We have 80 volunteer positions every Sunday morning. And thank the Lord, we fill the vast majority of those, but there are always room for more. If you want to volunteer and serve, please let us know. Those are the folks working the cameras. Those are ushers and greeters, Sunday school teachers, our next gen volunteers and ministers. So many people. Our donuts and coffee, let's not forget the donut people. Very important people in the life of our church. This next one is a really neat one that I've been working on understanding in the life of the church, and that's this. You want people to experience true spiritual transformation. Let me tell you what I mean by that. So there's this thing here called the Great Banquet. Has anybody heard about it? It is a significant thing. If you are a guest today or you are new to the church, you and I can take it together sometime in the future to learn more about it. But it's interesting when you look at it. We've had four since we moved here 10 months ago. And for each one of those four, it requires 130 volunteers from this church. Now, each of those, we average about 30 participants. So essentially, three or four volunteers to every one participant. We actually had one of these for our high schoolers in January, the Awakening Weekend. We had 37 participants and 43 volunteers. It's amazing when I am in the office those weeks and the other campus transforms into Motel Mandarin. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, you know. But what this tells me is that you don't just want to go through the motions of the faith. But many of you have experience diving into the deeper waters of faith and want others to experience that too. And spiritual transformation doesn't come cheaply. If people are going to experience Christ, it takes all of us putting Christ on. It takes all of us being the body of Christ, all the different parts, doing all those different tasks and all the different things that go into that weekend, but beyond that weekend, into Sunday morning, into our children's lives and our families' lives, for them to experience that transformation. But what I learn about our church from that is that you want others to experience the sweetness of Christ like you have. That's pretty cool. You're a generous congregation. So this is cool. This year, our pledges increased 12% from last year. 18 of those are 18 households who have never pledged to Mandarin Presbyterian before. That's exciting. That is good, but it's not just a financial generosity, not just a generosity to our operating budget, but also a generosity with your time and your talents to the community. So this spring, I learned that missions at MPC is spelled M-U-L-C-H, which spells what? No, it spells missions. I just said that. So this spring, we have sold over 25,500 units of mulch. Now, I punched that into the Lowe's mulch calculator, and that would cover over 7 acres, 2 inches deep, with mulch, with missions, right? What's cool about that, too, is that that required 288 volunteers to do that. Now, I understand for those of you who are giving, and you're actually multiple ones of those volunteers, that it feels like, man, we could use more volunteers. I hear you with that. We want more volunteers. But this is really cool how God has wired this church to step up. To step up and serve joyfully. There are historic mission partnerships. City Rescue Mission is having their Difference Makers Banquet in a couple of weeks, and they're going to recognize our church for our partnership with them that's been growing for over 20 years. We've been a part of everything from strategic planning and the board to GED prep classes to men's Bible studies and whatever else needs to be done to serve the least of these. I think about last fall when Hurricane Ian ravaged Southwest Florida, and the Holy Spirit prompted people in our church to get involved. We've donated to date over $13,000 of relief supplies. We have a strategic church partnership in Cape Coral there, and then there's this shower trailer. Any of the people who participated in building the shower trailer, you guys here, I mean, this is amazing. So guys in our church, they constructed this shower trailer for $27,000. This would have cost between $75,000 and $100,000 if we were to go out and buy that. There are 3 showers in it. There are 2 sets of washer dryer. I can't even fix my toilet, let alone build a shower trailer, but these guys felt called and led to provide this for those folks down there who needed help, who didn't have clean water and needed help with these things. We've sent multiple mission teams there, and we've raised over $50,000 for hurricane relief and disaster relief. Most of that was raised from our congregation, but also churches in Colorado, California, Georgia, and across Florida have been a part of that movement, that gift. I could go on and on, but is this church perfect? No, we are not. There is no such thing. All of those great things I just mentioned, here's the key, they are not about you. And they're not about me either. God is up to something. God is up to something, and He has been, even through the hardest seasons. Over the last 10 years, many, many churches have shuttered their doors, especially after the last 3 years. And so we need to stop and recognize how despite all these challenges, God has been faithful. God has been present. God has been providentially caring for Mandarin Presbyterian Church. But not just that, He has been doing some truly amazing things through you and through our fellowship that a few statistics can't even begin to quantify. So we need to stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you that you are in charge of our church. So a question that is good for us to consider is this: what does it look like for us to be a compelling community? To be the type of community that others out in the community who don't go to church, that they want to be a part of this church, that there's something different going on. And the way we are going to be a compelling community at Mandarin Presbyterian Church, it's not going to be any clever program, it's not going to be an event, it's not going to be a pastor or a staff member, it's going to be because our lives are being transformed by Jesus so that we can look more like Jesus. That's what this whole Momentum series has been about over the last few months, that if we are all taking one step closer to Jesus, we will have incredible momentum as the body of Christ. If the church is going to draw others to it, if we are going to be the church that draws people to it, it's going to be because we look like Jesus, we live like Jesus, and we love like Jesus. Plain and simple. Friends, I'm encouraged about what God is doing in and through our church. And I hope you are too. And if I may be so bold, I believe we should be confident in our future, not because of you or me. This is not about any confidence in our wonderful property or our programs or our pastors, but it is because we have a great confidence in the God we serve, the God who is faithful, the God who is powerful, the God who is up to something here in Mandarin. Okay, so when we started announcing that we were having this special service today, I'd hear rumblings of Pastor Stepp is going to share with us his vision for the church. He's going to cast the vision for where we're going and what this next chapter is going to look like. No pressure, right? Well, here's my vision for us. Let's get as close to Jesus as we can. Let's get deeper in our walk with Jesus and deeper into God's work. Our vision for the church begins and ends with life in Jesus. Everything else is meaningless compared with that. This is our first and primary task, our goal and our passion, to go deeper in our walk with Jesus and deeper in God's word. Before we cast vision, we have to listen. So let's get as close to Jesus as we can and then let Him lead us from there. I firmly believe that God is calling us to make a unique impact on our community and in this world, so we're going to draw near to Jesus and we're going to listen. And then we're going to follow. So earlier this year, our leadership bodies engaged in a series of conversations about our church. The session did this together in January, and then in February, we did it together with the deacons and the trustees, and now we want to invite you to be a part of these conversations. What is it that makes Mandarin Presbyterian Church Mandarin Presbyterian Church? How has God been writing the story here on Mandarin Road that we have the privilege of being a part of? Okay, now the moment you've all been dying for. You're going to find out about this mysterious sticky note insert in your bulletin. So there are four conversations. Four conversations. I'm going to walk you through each one and give you a couple of minutes in between to respond. There is room in the insert for you to jot down your notes. Ultimately, there are those four color-coded sticky notes so that as you leave worship after the service, you can leave your thoughts and ideas on several stations that look like this one down in front of the stage. So let's begin with step one. So if you open up to step one, that is the one with the blue header. It says, my favorite memory of MPC is dot, dot, dot. Now, a special word for those of you who are guests with us this morning. This is admittedly probably feels awkward to you. You are welcome to stick around and listen. You are welcome to use those sticky notes to write silly drawings on, which I love those. If any of you took Get a Grip on the Bible, you can jot your shopping list down on it any way you like. But I invite you to stick around and to listen and to actually think about, if you've been a part of a church before that, you can answer it about that church. And thinking about how God has ministered to you through the church. If you've been at the church and have made a commitment to be here, even if you've only been here a few weeks, you might be able to answer these questions as well. And I would challenge you and encourage you to think about what it was about this church, what God locked into your heart, that He wants you to be a part of it. Okay, so this first step, my favorite memory of MPC is blank. So the question here, what has been your favorite high point as a part of our church? Perhaps a time when you felt most inspired, challenged, engaged, or spiritually nurtured. You can see on each of these, there are examples. So some of the examples from these other meetings, I had over 80 people take this. Hang 10 weekend, family camp, grief share, getting married at MPC when looking at when this sanctuary was open. So I want you to think about that. And we're going to take a minute, and I actually want you to turn and share your spiritual high point or your favorite memory with someone near you. Just get in pairs and share with them what that favorite memory is. So take the next couple of minutes to do that. So there are several that I could choose from over the last 10 months. It could be Scamp when we first got here. It could be the cemetery service, the sunrise service in the cemetery on Easter Sunday, which was awesome. I am going to choose Fall Fest on the River. That was a super fun weekend, even though y'all subjected me to the dunk tank. So early in my time here, I was humiliated by all those children getting to run up and dunk me in there, but that's okay. I have to admit that my favorite celebrity sighting in our time here in Jacksonville was definitely the Pumpkin Spice Girls and their brilliant endorsements of the Fall Fest on the River. So write that down if you haven't already. And let's look at step two. So that's the green. MPC is a church that is blank. So I want you to think about that experience that you shared, and I want you to ask this question. What is it about Mandarin that created the environment for you to have that experience? What is it about the church that created an environment for you to have that experience? So for example, if I'm thinking about Fall Fest on the River, I might jot down, this is a church that loves to have fun. This is a church that is willing to serve. We had over 150 volunteers, many of them from our youth and many of them from the eldest in our congregation. The whole church was together, which brings me to the third one. Every generation was there and interacting. Every generation was there. What a marvelous thing. So I want you to take a couple of minutes, and I want you to stop and fill in the blank on this one. My church is a church that is blank. What was it that created that environment for you to experience that? Now, I know that some of y'all will need more time to do this, and if you want to stick around after the worship service, there's nothing going on after the worship service, so you can feel free to take more time with this. Or you can take it home and you can drop it off at the office or take a picture of it and email it to me either way. But let's look at step three. In the future, we want MPC to continue to blank. Now this one, the future is going to look different than the past. That is just reality. The future is going to look different than the past. There are going to be some things that are going to be carried forward. There are going to be some things that happen in the future as God renews our vision and calls us to serve in our city and our culture. But I want you to think about, what are the most important qualities? What are the most these special strengths of our church from our past and from our present that we want to carry forward in the future? Because I am firmly convicted that the substance of this community, the way God has been wiring our church to proclaim the gospel, to live the gospel out for the last 60 years, is going to remain consistent. It's going to remain consistent. God has given us an incredible heritage to build on. But what are the key strengths that we want to be sure to bring forward? Now, these are qualities and strengths, not programs. So I would not write down Fall Fest on the River. I wouldn't write that down, but I would think about, in thinking about that experience, I would say, you know, going into the future, I would want to make sure we have a sense of humor and humility, that we're able to laugh at ourselves. That's good. That we would be a church that gathers all the generations. That we'd be a church that where everybody contributes. Everybody has a gift and a role to play in carrying the gospel to our community and to one another. So I want you to take a couple of minutes and reflect on that. If you need to talk to your neighbor to get some ideas and things like that, that's fine. You can do that. Feel free to. But let's take a couple minutes and reflect on that one. Okay, one last step to this process, and that is step four on the back of the insert. It says this at the top, in 2027, MPC will be thriving and I will see blank. Okay, this is where things can get a little wild and a little exciting. I want you to imagine that you go home and you go into your Sunday afternoon post-church nap, and you go completely Rip Van Winkle. He's the one who sleeps a lot, right? And you wake up in 2027, holy smokes, and you come to church that next week, and you walk in the lobby, or you walk onto the courtyard, and you're like, wow, this is the church that I have been longing for and praying for. The church is vital. It's full. What do you see? What do you see that are signs of vibrancy? What is new? What is different? What is better? And I encourage you to be creative. Think big. Think out of the box. You know, a couple of the responses we had back when we did this earlier this spring, one was that there would be 50 babies in the nursery. 50 babies in the nursery. I think that full one was 50 babies in the nursery with Nancy Arnold. And I thought, man, God bless you, Nancy. But if you think about that, well, if we're going to have 50 babies in the nursery, well, we better get serious about some dating classes and ministering to our young families, some newlywed things, right? There was another one that said, Pastor Andrew comes out to preach with smoke machines and spotlights. Now, if you're ever going to hear me pontificating with plumes of smoke around me, it's going to be by my barbecue pit back by the river house, not up here in the sanctuary. But think about, as you come back, as you see vibrancy and life in our church 4 years down the road, 5 years down the road, what do you see? What do you see? Let's take a couple minutes to reflect on that. So we're obviously not going to be able to do all these things, but I'm curious. I want to hear what your hopes and dreams are for your church. And curious to how God's Spirit is moving among us. So what happens next with these? Well, at the end of worship, after worship, I would encourage you to jot down your notes on those post-it notes. And there are seven stations around the church that look just like this one. You can come up and place them on this one. There's one there and one there and four out in the plaza out front, the courtyard. So I encourage you to place those there. They're going to be elders at each one of those tables. So if you have questions or want to interact with them, you can do that. I am going to read all of these. And the session's going to read them as well, and we are going to be praying. One of the important responsibilities that the session holds is to discern the vision for the church, to discern where God is calling us. The pastors, we are a part of the session here. And so we want to listen, and we want to be bold to follow Jesus wherever he calls our congregation. I want to tell you what a gift it is and a privilege to be a pastor here at Mandarin Presbyterian Church. And what a blessing it is to be at a church where the joy of the Spirit is alive and well, where people are hungry for the Word of God, and where it is a joy to gather together in worship. So would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we thank you that this church belongs to you. It does not belong to the pastor. It does not belong to the session. It does not belong to the congregation. But this church belongs to you today, just as it has since the charter day over 60 years ago. You are the good shepherd, and we are the sheep of your pasture. And so, Lord, we look to you as the author and perfecter of our faith. And Jesus, we want to draw closer to you. We want to draw closer to you and be more like you and to be able to listen to you so that we know how to follow you. So, Lord, we entrust our church to you. And we pray that above all else, we would be known as a church that looks like Jesus, that lives like Jesus, that loves like you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand and let us sing together.